Paul's charge to Timothy. This is from verses 11 to 19. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honour and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay upon treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they must take hold of the life that is truly life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And the second reading is Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 33. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth or rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Right, thank you, Tim. I'm going to start just with a little bit of sharing, actually, which I should have done earlier, probably. But I don't know about you, but I'm under a lot of pressure at the moment. It's been a busy week. All sorts of things have been kicking off left, right and centre. We've got COVID regulations still to attend to. I've had funerals and all sorts of stuff going on. And one of the things that Carol read there a moment ago is you cannot serve two masters. Jesus saying you can't sort of do double time, so to speak. And his message really was stay close to God. Stay close to me. Don't try and do it all. And I don't know about you, but I found this week, when the pressure's on, it's been very tempting to leave Jesus on one side, not to read the Bible, not to pray. It's been very tempting just to get on with the jobs that need doing. But I find when I do that, I can survive for a day or two, but after that I begin to get grumpy and grotty, and things go wrong, and I get angry with people and snap at them and so on. So for me, that's a little lesson. You cannot serve two masters. Make sure that Jesus is front and center. Do not neglect him. That's my sharing. Anyway, I don't know if you saw this story, but yesterday was a gift day in California. An armored security van was traveling down the road in busy traffic when its back doors sprang open accidentally and money, paper dollars, fluttered out and covered the road, blowing in the wind. And of course, everybody slammed on the brakes, stopped the car, jumped out and picked some up. And the police and the company that owned the van asked them to hand it all back, please, hand it all in. But, well, what would you do? It's a tough question, isn't it? A gift day in California. Well, today is our gift day, a day for generous giving. And of course, it's focused on our tower appeal. But I thought I would tackle some good reasons not to give. A little bit different. A recent survey on Church of England giving listed these 10 findings. Finding number one, a third of Anglicans do not give to their church. A third. But throughout the Bible, God calls people to give generously. Why? Because he has given generously to us. In creation, giving us life and breath and everything. Harvest gifts, fruit and veg, home, clothing, food. The Bible's baseline is 10%. Just give 10% to God, with special appeals in addition to that for building the tabernacle or the temple, or if a group is in need, if there's a famine somewhere or an earthquake or whatever. 10% is the baseline, the starting point. There are actually some in the Bible, like the rich young ruler and the widow's mite, some who were called to give everything, 100%. One was at the extreme rich end of the scale, and one was at the extreme poor end of the scale. Everything. So please give to your church and to God's work. Finding number two, 40% of Anglicans have never been asked to give regularly. Now, I don't know about you, maybe you think of the church as just like another charity, and so perhaps you give when you feel like it, when you're specially asked to or whatever. No, please give regularly. The best way is actually to set up a regular payment. This helps our treasurer and it pays the parish share. And it's also actually easier for you. It means you don't forget. If you're away, it still happens. It carries on regularly. Number three, nearly half of Anglicans have never been asked to review their giving. Now, if you give already, thank you. We really appreciate that. But every year, the need increases. So please review your giving. If you don't, then it diminishes gradually, year by year, with inflation. Chelmsford Diocese actually now runs what they call the Parish Giving Scheme, which actually sets up a direct debit to the church, and it automatically maintains your giving in line with inflation, keeps it on track. Number four, only half of Anglicans have heard a sermon on giving in the past 12 months, and 60% said if they had, it didn't change their thinking on giving. Well, fair enough if you haven't heard a sermon on giving. I actually think we've had at least three sermons on giving, June the 6th, August 15th, September the 5th, and I think there have been one or two others as well that I can't actually put a date on, but you may have been away on those dates, I don't know. Or you may have thought all this through already and not heard anything new. Number five, the most popular reason to give to their church was to maintain the building. Well, that's very understandable. That's actually our appeal that we're having today. And in fact, lots of villagers hold the church building in their affection and want to contribute towards its upkeep. We've had folk in the local community who say, "Oh, I love that church, spotless at night with that tower and so on." Actually, far fewer want to contribute towards the church's worship and mission, which is also important. Number six, twice as many Anglicans have been asked to give by collection compared to a bank transfer. 60%, 30% by bank transfer. We actually recommend that you set up a bank transfer. It's helped us hugely in lockdown because, of course, it still happens even when people can't come and put anything in the collection plate. It's simpler for you, it's simpler for us. It works effectively. Number seven, Anglicans are three times as likely to leave a legacy to charity as they are to the church. Now, I know there are so many good charities, aren't there? So many good causes, including medical research, which a lot of people give to because perhaps they've lost a loved one for some disease or sickness. But a legacy to God's work can actually make a huge difference to the church. Some of the most significant building projects have been because somebody's left a legacy, and that makes a significant sum that kicks off a building project. Number eight, only 27% of Anglicans view their church's need as very important. Many people imagine that the church is paid for by the government, or perhaps has independent wealth somehow. This is just plain wrong. The government gives no grants or income to the church, absolutely nothing. Yes, the church has this land here and this building, and we could try to sell it, but just imagine the outcry if we did. The church depends on you and on your donations. And if we don't give, to be honest, the church will close. Number nine, 49% feel they'd be more motivated to give if they fully understood the impact of their giving. Well, we certainly try and make sure that your gifts are used wisely for God's work. And we also give 10% of the church's income to charities like Chitra in Nepal and Christian Youth Outreach, CYO, in schools. So what we're asking you to do, we also do as a PCC, as a church. But basically, most of your giving goes to providing vicars in churches, effectively missioners for God in your community. Number 10, last, less than a third of Anglicans say they're regularly thanked for their giving. Well, let me start then. Thank you for your giving. So far, we've received quite a lot for the Tower Fund. Do we know roughly how much, Yvonne? How much would you say? That's a wonderful sum. Yeah. Yeah. But many of you will know we're trying to raise a good deal more than that, and there's a good display on the blue boards on the right. And I'm sure Andrew can point you to the details of that. So thank you to those who have given already, but there is still more to raise in this year and the coming years. So let's just pray as we finish. Father, we thank you for everything that you have given generously to us. Help us, we pray, in our turn, to be generous, to give generously to your work. In Jesus' name. Amen.